This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Richard Allen's attorneys are back.
That's right. The Indiana Supreme Court said, yeah, guess what, Baldwin and Rossi? You guys are back in the game. The two other motions denied that include Judge Gull being kicked out of the trial and also the 70 days to get to trial also denied. But there may be some roads for some of those things to take place. Joining me to discuss this and everything that's going on in the case of Richard Allen and the Delphi murders, Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. You were in the Supreme Courtroom the other day. Tell me, you know, obviously we know what the outcome was, but what happened there in that courtroom? What do you recall?
It was a great experience, man. You know, it's very different when you're going to hear oral arguments in like a high court, whether it be the appellate court, you know, a state Supreme Court or the Supreme Court of the United States. It's a different experience, you know, because it's a very different type of proceeding in that you've got a panel of judges that are essentially grilling two attorneys that are making arguments to them. I kept trying to prepare people that had never seen or watched or observed or listened to oral arguments in front of like a Supreme Court, either of the U.S. or a state Supreme Court, that this is what you can expect. You know, I mean, the decorum is intense as you can get, and the judges just come really hard at the lawyers, you know, because they've read the briefs. They all have questions and, you know, they interrupt the lawyers constantly. From the lawyer's side, those oral arguments are intense, you know, because when the judges come in hot, you know, and they're coming fast and furious and they're coming one after another. And, you know, they're all asking different questions about different aspects of the issues. It's super challenging. But in terms of like, if you're a law nerd, it doesn't get any better than that. Yesterday was just a great day. You know, just the arguments themselves were great. I really enjoyed it because I am a giant law nerd. But, yeah. You know, the courtroom was packed as much as it could be. A lot of press. Oddly enough, Judge Gull did not show up. Rosie Baldwin were there. The victims' families were there. But as far as other parties to the case, that was it. Of course, Rick Allen was not in attendance, which is not unusual.
Sure.
This isn't like trial court. It's not unusual for defendants not to be brought in for either appellate issues or interlocutory issues. They're up for oral argument. They typically don't transport them to court if they're in custody. So, you know, but it was just, it has that feel. There's like no other feeling. It's like the pinnacle of our system of justice. When you walk into those types of courtrooms, you know, it's like you can just feel the weight of the room in there. So yeah, it was a great experience.
You had mentioned, you mentioned the family of the victims was there. They have got to be so frustrated with the way this has all been going. Because they're there for arguments that aren't even to the merits of the case. It's the logistics of the case. Did you get any sense of where they're at with all this and how they're feeling about everything that's going on?
Not really. You know, I mean, it's quiet as quiet can be.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one's making a peep in there in terms of like even when you're sitting in there prior to argument, it's like kind of like being in church a little bit. You know, so no, I didn't really get a sense of that. The thing with victims' families, not just in this case, but in every case, they rely so heavily and trust so heavily in what the prosecution and law enforcement has told them in terms of, look, this is the right guy. We got the guy, you know, and they put all their faith into that. And then, you know, in this particular case, you've got two attorneys, which, you know, and it's always been my opinion since Gull removed him and before that these guys were just really zealously representing Rick Allen. That this is what zealous representation looks like. I don't know if the expectation of people that observe trials and cases is that defense attorneys are just supposed to sit back and let the state run rampant, and they can put whatever they want out in the press, and they can put their theory out in the press, and the defendant and his attorneys just have to sit there quietly. Well, you know, that's not the case. And, you know, when I looked at, you know, the entire factual scenario and the totality of it, you know, it was just clear to me that these were two guys that were really fighting hard for their client. Mm-hmm. And Gull took exception to it, and she wrongfully removed them from the case. You know, I mean, I always try to tell people, I'm like, thank God forbid that you were arrested for something that you didn't do. And I'm not saying that Rick did or didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just using it as an example of what happened in this case. And you're like, oh my God, you know, and say you don't have money to go pick, you know, the lawyer of your choice from the, you know, right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, two lawyers get appointed to you, and you develop a relationship with them over a year. You can see that they're really working hard on your case. They're in constant communication with you. You're looking at the work that they're doing, and it's evident to you that they're fighting for you, you know, like when your life is on the line. And then to have some judge tell you, no, you know, I get it. You want them? Too bad. I'm not letting you have them. Which is exactly what happened here. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't her place to decide it. If she wanted to sanction them for the leak, fine. You know, there's plenty of ways she can sanction lawyers without destroying Rick Allen's constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And that's what this thing boiled down to. I was very confident when I heard, oh, but to get back to the point about the families, you know, and so I just wonder, I would love to be able to talk to them and say, like, where are you guys at right now? Like, you know, I know that you were told that Rick Allen's the guy by the state and Doug Carter and law enforcement. And they're like, this is the guy. I know that we had all this information for 5 years, but now we think he's the guy. And, you know, nothing's really changed, but we think he's the guy now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they had to have heard about the memo coming out. And if you choose to ignore it, accept it, be in the middle with it. The bottom line is if it's my child, God forbid, I'd be wondering, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? You know what I mean? It's got to just have them. And so, and like prosecutors and law enforcement, they're not holding hands and, you know, giving hugs to the victims' families and, you know, reassuring them all the time. They don't do that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's got to be just completely unsettling. And then to see the case be derailed like it was, you know, we've lost 3 months now in the search for justice. Mm-hmm. We would literally be in trial right now. Yeah. You and I be talking about what just happened last week in trial. And oh my God, can you believe this happened? And yeah. Oh my God, can you believe that happened? And oh my God, we heard the confessions. What do you think? Are they legitimate or was he coerced? You know, I mean, it's like, and we're not even close to that now. No. So I don't know. It's got to be extremely frustrating and terrifying for them because, you know, when you don't understand the ins and outs of the judicial system, it's intimidating and it's scary. It's, I always say it, and we all know it, you know, the fear of the unknown is the worst, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, because you just like, you're just sitting there not knowing what's what, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, they've got to be in a pretty bad place because if they were thinking about it in the way that really makes the most sense for them, they want these guys on the case because you want the case tried properly the first time. And no matter what Gull thinks about these two guys are really good lawyers. Mm-hmm. They just are. They've both been practicing 20 plus years. They both have a ton of experience. They're both really good trial lawyers. They have no disciplinary history. And that doesn't even mean anything to me anyway. You know, it depends on what the disciplinary the issue is. If it's a lawyer fighting like hell for their client and they get dinged, like my wife got dinged fighting like hell for her client in a case that she won, you know, it's worth it. I mean, defense attorneys, we take those types of beatings, but like they should want competent counsel on the defense side because they don't want to have to do this again. Unless it turns out that they don't have the right guy.
Sure.
and they're able to actually get the right guys or guy, and they go to trial again. You know what I mean? Yeah. Either way, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And you know, now it's like, it's just, it's a terrible situation for the families.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.